thank you so much for listening to another episode of CX Chronicles Podcast. I'm your host, Adrian Brady Chisana. Tune in each week as we listen to amazing customer-focused business leaders from across the world sharing their personal stories about their teams, tools, process, and feedback. Check us out at cxchronicles.com today or listen on iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. I'd like to welcome Robin Marcinek to today's episode of the CX Chronicles podcast. Robin is the head of customer experience and success at Pipestream in New York City. Responsible for global implementation, customer support, and customer success for enterprise clients subscribing to Pipestream's conversational AI platform. Robin works with a team of CX Navy SEALs ranging from all sorts of different backgrounds and experience sets, working with the Pipestream customers each and every day. Robin chats through the four CX pillars of team, tools, process, and feedback, and gives us an excellent inlet of all of the things going on at Pipestream today. All right, Robin Marcinek, welcome to the CX Chronicles podcast, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Adrian. Great to be here.
Absolutely. Pumped to have you, Robin. Why don't you start off, sir, like we start off all these shows, take a couple minutes and talk with the CX Nation. Give us your elevator pitch, sir. Give us the story for how you got to where you are today working with a company like Pipestream, sir.
Yeah, let's do it. So to all your listeners, I'll give you guys a little bit of background about myself. So I'm about 10 years into my career working at Pipestream, which is a SaaS company based in New York City. We focus on conversational AI. It's a space that really has expanded and grown over the last 5-6 years since the mid-2010s. And we work pretty much exclusively with large enterprise clients who really want to leverage the power of automation and rich user experience to deliver really nice, engaging experiences to their customers to achieve, you know, wide-ranging use cases, primarily in the customer support space. So offering chat online or in a variety of other channels to meet the needs of their end users. And for me, that's been a huge area of interest for me in two ways. I mean, I'm about 10 years into my career. I have an engineering and a business degree going back to college. And coming out of school, I really wanted to focus on being in a software space, but also in a kind of enterprise customer facing role where I could take what I felt was the combination of technology, but kind of user design and user experience to achieve these kind of goals that these large companies have that are looking to transform digitally while bringing to bear kind of all of the technology and the information that they have about their end users into these really nice cohesive experiences. So I spent a few years with IBM at the forefront of my career. I was with the IBM Watson Group, delivering at the time IBM's suite of Watson API technologies to similar sized companies that we work with today at Pipestream. And it was a lot around, again, designing these rich user experiences. So we did, you know, these large scale deployments working with, you know, telcos, working with insurance companies, where we would deploy, you know, these APIs and primarily, again, building what are more colloquially known as chatbots, but building these experiences. And I eventually pivoted into Pipestream because Pipestream, you know, much smaller company, much more nimble and agile, was really entirely focused on this really specific technology in this very specific space. So I wanted to be in a space that we had all the experts. You know, we've brought in design experts, data scientists, engineers from, you know, all different fields and all different walks of life to build out what we think is now one of the, you know, market leading conversational AI platforms that delivers on, you know, really all the needs and the wants of our customers that we work with today. So for me, that's really exciting. It's really fulfilling to be able to take a technology and then combine it with really great CX and great user experience to deliver these really transformational experiences for our customers and for their own customers, right? So we're really operating in this B to B to C space, which makes it even more exciting. So that's a little bit about me.
I love it. Before we hop into all the awesome things that's going on at Pipestream, I'd love to just, you know, having that experience at IBM early on, Robin, must have been huge in terms of just, number one, laying a proper foundation for the way that any customer-focused business leader is going to think about just all the information that actually lies out there within all these different customer information points, right? And then being able to be a part of that IBM team and working with Watson and being close to some of the things that they were doing at the time must have just been such an awesome experience for you to kind of have out of the gates. And it must have really laid an incredible groundwork for some of the things that you're doing at Pipestream with the CX team today, because, you know, not too many people get to see some of the inner workings of a business like IBM and all the incredible things that they're doing. So just one thought, but I guess my question for you is, you know, what were some of the big foundational takeaways from that experience that really kind of set you up for all the future success that you had after that?
Yeah, no, I always chuckle when, you know, I live in New York City. If you grew up in the New York City area, it's pretty much guaranteed that you know someone, and it's probably actually a family member that worked at IBM, right?
That's right. Just the
impact and the size of the company, especially in this area. You know, for me, it was, like you said, a foundational aspect of how I, you know, started my career for sure. But when I look at it today, there's kind of two specific elements of where I see it kind of both helping myself, but also now, you know, we're applying that same learnings, I suppose, to the way we do business and the way I've built out my team at Pipestream. And the first is internal. You know, you have, when you have that experience, you work in a large company. Yes, there are some negatives, but there's a lot of positives of having that structure and a lot of the kind of policies and procedures that a large company has. And when you join a, you know, rapidly growing company like Pipestream, we're now just north of 70 employees. You know, this is no surprise for your listeners who themselves work at a startup, but, you know, having that background from a large company really helps with scaling and hiring and building out a high performing team and putting in place the right processes and the tools, right? Which I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk about here shortly. The second is external, right? I mean, we, as an enterprise facing SaaS company, just, you know, there's a lot of nuances and they're more than nuances, right? There's just complexity of working in the enterprise space of just understanding the complexities of both interfacing with large companies, but also their architectures and the systems that they have in place. It's, you know, coming, if you come from a consumer facing SaaS company, it's a very different world of serving large enterprises. And I think, you know, just that experience for me personally of being at IBM and now kind of bringing in and scaling our team with people that have wide, you know, ranging backgrounds, but some with similar backgrounds helps a lot with kind of working in this space.
I love it. That's an awesome answer, man. And you know, the thing that you immediately make me think about, and I'm glad you brought it up, you're spot on. Like, there's so many incredible startup and growth focused, you know, hyper scale companies out there right now, where maybe they start off with a specific product or a specific service. And then later on down the line, they realize, whoa, we've got an enterprise play here. There's an enterprise value here, right? And I love what you talked about, because they all want to make that jump overnight, as if it's like flipping on an enterprise switch and being able to, from a sales and an ops and a product perspective, just flip an enterprise switch. And I love that you brought it up. It does not work that way. It is really hard. There's a whole different set of complexities you're dealing with. I mean, even just selling to enterprise clients, you're dealing with a whole different level of experience from a decision maker and a buying perspective. And you're right, man, you having the ability to see some of that stuff at IBM early, it sets you up to be able to really kind of have a basic blueprint and an idea for how it can sort of be shaped and how it can be molded and how it can be worked at a company like Pipestream. So with that, so I just wanted to just call that out. That's awesome.
It's a great point. And I guess the one other thing I would add to that is, you know, for your listeners here who are themselves working at smaller technology companies, who may be CX leaders, who may be part of, you know, the leadership team within those companies, you know, there is, I would say, an inflection point where, as a small company, you reach a point where you need to shift your thinking a little bit, and you're no longer the young, you know, scrappy startup. You don't want to lose, you know, those elements of your culture and your vision that made you who you are today. But you also need to start thinking, you know, perhaps bigger, and start thinking in that mode of, hey, we're really growing now. We need to put in place the right processes, the right tools, the right teams to take that next leap. And that's where, you know, Pipestream was about 6 to 9 months ago, and now we're really operating in that mode.
I love it. Well, then let's jump into the first CX pillar of team. So why don't you take a couple of minutes, Robin, to talk with us about the Pipestream team that's being built in New York today?
Yeah, for sure. So in my role, I lead our what we call customer experience and success at Pipestream. It's a bit of a mouthful, I'll admit, but it really covers two key elements of the business and how we work with our customers, and that's implementing our stack. So we have, you know, an end-to-end conversational AI platform. So our teams, our customers can go in and build their own use cases, design their own flows, train their own NLU models. But it does take that configuration and essentially an implementation effort. So we have a team that's dedicated to that work. And then we have a customer success organization, which is, as you might expect, a more typical customer success organization operates to manage our customers that are live in production and to continually optimize the solution and the use cases that we've developed for them so that they keep getting the value that they see. You know, the NLU models, which is how we understand the intent and what users are saying, so that they can see those improving over time. So I've built my team out, you know, within those two groups to have really a wide background. We have folks who, you know, come from traditional consulting fields where they've worked previously in kind of a technology consulting role, others from more of a strategy side of things, others that have a full kind of design background. So we have people who have worked in, you know, the B2C space and worked with, you know, designing front end digital experiences. We have folks with more of a data science background on my team as well, who are really designing and training our models. And we have folks that are really heavy in data and analytics because we, you know, we generate a lot of data from our platform. So folks that have a deeper expertise with, you know, data pipelines and visualization so that we can really provide those insights and provide that information back to our customers. So our team is really comprised of a pretty wide range of individuals that either play a kind of project lead role, a solution design type of role, or a more traditional customer success manager role. And our team is about 12 people today and steadily growing as we onboard more and more customers.
I love it. So you have a nice little CX Swiss Army knife there, my friend.
We do. And that's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, articles and papers out there that talk about, you know, the power of having a diverse team. And I do really believe in that, right? We have left side of the brain thinkers, right side of the brain thinkers. And I think bringing together the different backgrounds and perspectives is what makes us a really high performing team.
100% agree with you, man. So I'm number one, a little bit jealous, because that's one of the biggest challenges, right? When companies are thinking about how they want to build up their CX roadmap, how they want to build up their CX strategy, there's oftentimes, especially depending on what type of executive experience is sort of flowing through the veins of the business, you might have a propensity to go right after a call center vet, right? Somebody who's got a ton of experience running a call center and they're great at running a call center. And that's fine. That's awesome. All these companies have to go through their different ebbs and flows. But when you could piece together the call center person with the technology person, with the data analyst, with the individual who's literally done nothing but manage customer communications and relations their entire career, now you're cooking with gas. And that's where I completely agree, Robin. You can learn from each other, grow from each other, rub off on each other in both the good and the bad ways, right? And sometimes that's okay. But really, you get this organic evolution of a team that's going to be in a much better place further on down the line as the company continues to scale into the future.
Yeah, and you know, with Pipestream, we've built out what I think is like a first-class leadership team, as well as kind of middle management, so that we have people, like you said, that have these kind of, you know, 15, 20 plus year backgrounds in the telecom space and in the call center space, because ultimately, of course, that's the space we're looking to transform. Yep. But when we work with our, you know, our own customers, they are looking at us as, you know, help us transform, help us innovate. And so I think bringing actually these kind of diverse backgrounds, specifically on my team, that can bring in those different perspectives and come in and, you know, have an understanding of the technology, have an understanding of the industry, but bring in really all the best practices from what we've done across different industries is really powerful to our customers as well.
That's awesome. No, I love it. Robin, let's hop into the second CX pillar of tools. I'd love to spend a couple minutes picking your brain and sort of hearing the way that you guys think about assembling your CX toolkit at Pipestream. And I'd love for you just to spend a couple minutes talking about the way that you and the team has really kind of gone about sort of building and engineering the way that you use those systems and tools to manage your customers each and every day.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, look, we have grown, you know, quickly, and as part of that evolves our internal tool set to, you know, meet the needs of both our team and our customers' needs. But, you know, today, you know, we're, and to get right into the actual tools themselves, right? We're a big Atlassian shop within Pipestream. So
okay,
we live and breathe Jira. That's where we're spending a ton of our days. So the way we manage our individual, you know, clients or implementations, as well as, you know, the customer success component, is both within, you know, the Jira tool set and within Confluence. At an account level, you know, CRM, we use Salesforce, and that's a big part of how we kind of manage all, you know, our existing customer base, and of course, you know, all of our prospective customers that we bring in through our pipeline.
Yep.
But ultimately, you know, a lot of what we're doing today is within the Google ecosystem. So,
okay.
You know, while we don't have a full kind of end-to-end customer success toolkit, for any listeners that are on that may be working in that space, you know, reach out to me if you have a good one, because we're in the market right now. That's kind of where we're at. We're kind of constantly evolving. Those are like the tools that we use to manage and kind of work through our day-to-day. But man, from a data standpoint, we are very heavy in data and analytics. So we're leveraging, you know, a whole pipeline built out in BigQuery.
Okay.
For the analytics folks on the call here. And then we're doing a bunch of visualization on the front end with Google Data Studio, custom reporting, custom dashboards, all the way through to, you know, specific requests that our customers have for us. And, you know, fortunately, I'm lucky to have been able to bring on folks on my team that have really, you know, strong data science as well as just analytics backgrounds. So we've done a lot to build out some homegrown visualization tools that allow us to take both the structured and the unstructured data that we generate from our platform and create really powerful reporting, right? These dashboards, these heat maps of, you know, how actual end users are using our platform, and all of that really feeds into how we kind of report back to our customers and how we optimize the solution we've built for them.
I love it. And it's funny because you're spot on, Robin. It's like the sooner any customer experience, customer success, inside selling, any type of customer facing team, frankly, the sooner you can connect and bridge them to either your analytics or your data science team, the better. It's one of these things that, especially for these smaller, scrappier startups that are trying to like scratch and claw their way through year one, year two, year three, right? Those insights become the actions that literally increase your sales, increase your retention, increase your ability to create an army of promoters instead of an army of detractors. And I think the other thing too is it's one of those things, and Robin, you and I were talking about this the other day, but like the more of those insights that you can put in front of your customer facing staff specifically, the more intelligent your business is going to sound, the more put together and professional you're going to appear, even if you are a smaller, scrappier, brand new, you know, fresh on the street startup, and customers respond to that. And I think the last thing is just that, as you and I were chatting about the other day too, it's just like, it's going to be amazing to continue to see how the best companies in the world continue to tap specific data sets, again, through the power of these incredible data scientists and all these tools that we're using, whether it's BigQuery or Tableau or Looker or any, whatever tool you're using right now. But man, when you can put that stuff in front of your CX or your customer team, they can literally double down on that with literally the next customer phone call using that information.
Totally. And you know, unless you're a company that you're actually, your product is an analytics platform or a reporting tool, you know, it's easy to not focus on that early on and to focus on your core product offering. But, you know, in the enterprise space, and it's something that Pipestream focused on early on, I can't undersell like the importance of having that type of reporting and analytics capabilities in-house, both from a tool set and just a resource standpoint. Because like you said, right, ultimately getting that data and having that kind of richness of data available is what is going to make your customers happy, because they can easily measure the impact and the value of what you're bringing. It's going to make your own teams more efficient and productive because they have that data and can easily manipulate it and work with it. And you mentioned this as well. That feeds into the rest of the organization, right? If you're in the engineering team or on the product team or, you know, marketing, sales, you can look at that data and it can influence your own decision making based on how users are actually using the platform, what's working, what's not working. So it feeds and it permeates into the rest of the organization.
Absolutely. Yep. Well said, man. Robin, let's hop into the third pillar of processes. We've already kind of hit on some of these points, and you've already done a phenomenal job of explaining some of the intertwining points in the different teams of Pipestream. But can you spend a couple minutes kind of talking about the way that you and your team and the folks at Pipestream have thought about sort of building out processes and workflows to, number one, sustain the growth that you've seen, but number two, and I picked up on this the other day during our chat, but just to make sure that you continue to use some of the organizational glue, if you will, that processes and workflows gives us. You spent a couple of minutes just kind of talking about some of the ways that you and your team have thought about process.
Yeah. I mean, process, I guess, after reporting and analytics, and perhaps after just the user experience that we want to deliver on the front end, is a huge focus area for my team. We actually, when we first really came to market in 2018, that's when we really started ramping up and kind of getting our platform out there and having a larger set of subscribing enterprise customers. We realized that we needed to have a very kind of, I don't want to say strict, but like a proper process, right? Something that was very clearly outlined that we could apply when it came to taking our new customers all the way through the design, the development, the deployment, and then ultimately the ongoing kind of optimization phase. And so we developed an in-house process. We called it Pipe Pro. It's actually trademarked. So it's kind of our internal development implementation process, if you will, all the way through customer success on an ongoing basis. And it's really focused on specific swim lanes, right?
Okay.
From design and development. So how do we focus, you know, our resources and bring our best practices of conversational AI design? And so we bring to bear, you know, loads of just best practices documented, you know, in the form of, you know, deliverables and just kind of white papers and information that we kind of walk our customers through. And then we really go through that process from the upfront design through the development and integration. That's a big component, another big swim lane within our Pipe Pro process. As you can imagine, working in the enterprise space, we're taking our platform and embedding it within our customers' architectures, our customers' ecosystem. So a big focus of our process is just API integrations, right? Documenting, collecting, and then integrating into backend APIs that our customers make available to us. And then I think what the secret sauce that we bring is, you know, it's easy to focus on the design, the integration, and then forget about everything else. But we put a huge emphasis on just adoption and kind of how do we position the solution to our customers' customers, right? You could build a great solution, but if your end users aren't aware of it or don't adopt it, then, you know, our own customers aren't going to see that value. They're not going to see the ROI. So we put a big emphasis as part of PipeRo to work with our customers, work with their marketing teams to make sure that, you know, customers are aware of it, that their end users adopt this technology, that we position it across the right channels so we meet the end users where they are. That's a huge part of the customer experience, is meeting the end user where they are so that they can take advantage of this new support channel or this new tool that's going to give them recommendations for the best product to buy or whatever it may be. So that's kind of a big crux of our process. PipePro, again, that's kind of what we utilize it on our website. If you visit pipestream.com, you'll see more information about that. But it's a big push for us, and it's helped us kind of institutionalize a really rigorous implementation approach that allows us to really go live with our customers sometimes as quickly as 3 to 4 weeks, depending on the complexity of the actual implementation.
That adoption piece is huge, Robin, because you're right. We literally see time and time and time again all these hot, young, sexy startups pop up that have these really, maybe they got awesome branding, awesome marketing, they've got that awesome initial traction ability, but then you go and you ask like 10 individuals or 10 customers who used it, and they say, well, yeah, we signed up, or yeah, we bought it, but it sucked. And then you go, you know, five questions deeper, and really what you end up finding out is, from an implementation or a customer onboarding perspective, nobody was really there to become their adoption champion. Yep. And it's really the onus is on every one of us as customer focused business leaders to understand that one of the most important parts of the customer journey, it's adoption. If you can't get somebody hooked or bought in or comfortable or just confident, right? Confidence, another word that I'll use a lot when you're talking about a customer onboarding and adoption, they're not going to use the damn thing. So you could assign 100,000 people up, and if at day 30 your adoption rate is some singular percentage point, it's not that impressive. Whereas if you can sign 20,000 people up and your adoption rate 30 days later, you've got 80% of that camp using it. Let me learn more about that company, because you're right. It's like, you got to be all over the adoption and the onboarding piece.
Yeah, and I couldn't have said it better. I mean, that's why in the consumer space, you have, you know, this concept of monthly active users, right? I mean, same thing applies to us. You can have millions of signups, but if it's not being used, well, that's a clear point that, hey, adoption isn't there. So it's why it's a huge focus area for us.
I love it. That's great. This sets us up perfectly for the fourth, sixth pillar of feedback. I'd love to spend a couple minutes. You've already given us some great examples, but Robin, spend a couple minutes talking about, how do you guys think about sort of collecting, assessing, and using customer feedback?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, we are, being in the enterprise space, we really have two customers. We have, you know, our enterprise customer, right? The company that's bought the Pipestream subscription and that's using our services. But I would argue just as important is their customer, right? The end user of, you know, this company's services. That's, to me, actually where we get a ton of really valuable feedback. And so from our customers, the enterprise customers themselves, you know, we go through, as you might expect, the typical kind of what I would consider the typical feedback mechanisms. We have, you know, quarterly business reviews with our accounts, sometimes more frequently than that, on a monthly cadence, to, you know, consistently solicit their input, solicit their feedback, ensure that we're, you know, delivering on their specific needs. And that's a constant feedback mechanism. We have, you know, dedicated CSMs so that those resources are really on the ground working with our accounts, ensuring that feedback from the account level is making its way back to us, back to our teams, and ultimately all the way back to the product and engineering teams, who themselves are taking, you know, feature requests, input from our customers to influence, you know, certain elements of our product roadmap. So that's huge for us. The second piece is the consumer feedback, right? So how do we get an understanding of, you know, the satisfaction, the usage levels from the consumers actually engaging with Pipestream on our customers' websites, across other channels, but how do we get that feedback? So, you know, outside of just the straight, you know, feedback you might get through a survey at the end of a session or the end of an engagement with Pipestream, this is where our customer success team, and again, this is where the data and the analytics play such a huge role. we'll look at using some, machine learning tools on our platform that, surface up these insights automatically for our customer success team. We'll look at actual inputs, utterances, as we call them in our space. It's what are users actually saying and what are they asking? And we take that and we feed those actual utterances back into our system and back into our NLU models to retrain basically individual intents or specific elements of our NLU over time so that, that feedback that we receive, those inputs, we can see what they are and we can retrain the model, maybe create new intents or create new flows, identify like we did early on in March and April that, many of our customers saw a huge uptick in, COVID-related inquiries, concerns, and questions. And so using that data to retrain our models, tweak the functionality of our support tools, that was a huge element of how we collected their feedback and just their specific questions, right? So constantly we're looking at that data. It's just an iterative process of, looking at the feedback and improving the solutions over time.
I love it. Now, what about, I have to ask you this, with that Swiss Army CX knife team of yours, Robin, what about the employee feedback side? Can you talk a little bit about sort of how you utilize some of the customer information points that your team is living, feeling, and breathing every single day in terms of how you can use some of that employee feedback to improve the product, improve the service, improve the employee experience?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, employee feedback, of course, employee satisfaction is incredibly important to us, as I'm sure it is for all your listeners here. For us, outside of just getting, we do quarterly employee satisfaction surveys. Of course, they're anonymous. It's an opportunity for us to solicit feedback from the company as a whole. Outside of those more formal elements, as a manager, I'm in touch, as I mentioned, I have a team of about 12 people. With my direct reports, I'm talking with everyone, on a weekly, if not multiple times a week with my direct reports. And then everyone else on my team, I'm speaking with them on a monthly basis. And, I pride myself on really not instituting a hierarchical organization. Of course, as we've grown, those have come in naturally. But for me, the input that I have is no more important than the input or feedback of one of the designers on my team, right? Those are treated equally in my mind. And so feedback that we get from the team, whether it's, how we're doing certain things, okay, maybe this pipe pro process that we have needs to evolve, or maybe there's an element of our product that we've heard from this customer needs to be improved. All of that kind of feedback makes its way, whether through me or through other channels back to the responsible parties. So even, our product roadmap, right? We're making an important and I think a significant investment and focus on ensuring that the product roadmap takes in the feedback from our customers, of course, but also from the employees who are working with the products day in, day out, because all of that should feed into how we evolve and how we grow the product.
They're one of the biggest experts that is sitting right inside of the circle. Yep. Well said, man. They become one of the easiest go-to places to really be able to figure out where some of the low-hanging fruit lies. So I love it. Robin, as we get ready to wrap up today's episode, I want to make sure I give you a chance to talk about any upcoming features, highlights, or things that you want to make sure that the CX Nation is aware of about you or about Pipestream, and then also make sure that you share one more time where people can find more about you and Pipestream.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate the chance to kind of close things out. Look, for any of your listeners here who are CX leaders, who are themselves looking at perhaps some antiquated tools, processes that today they use to serve their consumer base, think of conversational AI as a way to meet the needs of your end users, meet the needs of your customers, leveraging those tool sets, but presenting all this information now in a very rich, immersive, conversational experience, right? We found, and there's a reason why we exist as a company, that more and more consumers want, on-demand information, support, wherever they are. And that could be when they reach their particular website of, the company that they're engaging with. It could be on channels like Apple Business Chat or Google's Business Messages or Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp. you know, the way that consumers interact with friends and family is the way they want to interact with a business. And so that's really why Bikestream exists. And that's where, you know, we found this niche in the marketplace to transform the support landscape, transform even the online sales landscape for, you know, shopping, online retail type of use cases. And that's where, you know, for anyone here who's listening, who's looking for that type of transformation, that type of technology that we believe can be a big differentiator, you know, look us up, pipestream.com. You'll find all the information about us. You can reach out through our website or reach out directly to me. And we'd be happy to have a conversation with you.
Love it. Well, look, Robin, this was an absolute pleasure to have you on the show, man. Thank you so much for all of the valuable insights and all the great ideas around how people can become better customer-focused business leaders. It's been our pleasure. Looking forward to seeing what you and the Pipestream team do next, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Adrian, for having me on today.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the CX Chronicles podcast. We're thrilled to have you as a part of the CX Nation, tuning into customer-focused business leaders from across the world. Be sure to check out the CXC website, and as always, find us on any of your favorite podcast players, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Thanks so much for making this show a reality and being a part of the CX Nation. And as always, folks, remember to make happiness a habit.